the week 13 edition of X's and Omar. The Finns are headed to Baltimore trying to win their seventh straight game. Alongside Sun Sentinel Dolphins columnist Omar Kelly, I'm CBS 12 sports director Matt Lincoln, and this team just keeps doing it. Six straight wins for the first time since 2005 when Nick Saban was the head coach of this team, and they've kept winning despite having to go on the road, despite big-time injuries, despite the caliber of opponent. How does this keep happening?
I think there's been a culture change. I wrote in a Sun Sentinel column, I've been talking to players, probably going back to the Steelers game. This feels a little different. It's not what I'm accustomed to. And basically, I've talked to players who've been here for a while. The Cameron Wakes, who's been here since 2009. Even Matt Moore, who's been here, you know, God, since 2011. He's been part of two coach firings.
Right.
There's a culture change. To get to the bottom of that culture change, you have to understand that it comes with a new coaching staff. And both Adam Gase and Vance Joseph have changed the tone of trust and accountability that players have within each other and then players have within their coaching staff. Players now on defense believe that, hey, for the first time, if we actually just do what this defensive coordinator calls do our job, don't leave the reservation, just do what we're responsible for doing, we will ultimately, I might not make the play, but we will ultimately win as a defense. And think about it, they have improved tremendously since the six-game winning streak.
But it's got to be more than that, right? It's got to be more than just being held accountable, because you've got guys like Bakari Rambo who are making big plays. You've got guys like Anthony Steele. These are cast-offs.
Yes.
It's got to be more than just holding themselves accountable, right? Because these kind of no-name guys are stepping up and making winning plays.
Now, absolutely. You make a very valid point. The GM, Chris Greer, and Mike Tannenbaum deserve a ton of credit for the evaluation of guys like Bakari Rambo, guys like Andre Branch. Bakari Rambo got here on the bye week, practiced for 1 week, and instantly started playing. Then he became a starter 2 weeks later. That never happens.
No, yeah.
That never happens. This is a guy that everybody in the NFL said no thanks to in October. Props to him for resurrecting his career, but then props to the evaluation staff for identifying that he is a good player. Andre Branch, since Andre Branch and Cameron Wake became a starter, it wasn't just Cameron Wake. Andre Branch is playing pretty well. This defense has not lost. This team has not lost. There are still some issues that need to be addressed. Defensive tackle play is not good enough. Linebacker play is not good enough. But the secondary continues to improve. They're the seventh best secondary in the NFL right now in terms of passer rating at 84.5. This is a team that started the year at 95. You know, every quarterback was playing at a Pro Bowl level. They have drastically improved despite the loss of Xavier Howard, who we beginning of the year we said was one of the best cornerbacks on the team, one of the best defenders on the team. They've continued to improve despite the loss of Rashad Jones, Pro Bowl caliber player. Yet they just continue to get better, and you got to give a lot of credit to the coaching.
And now the Dolphins are headed to Baltimore with a chance for their first seven-game win streak since 1985. I was young. I'll at least leave it at that. What would achieving something like that mean for the direction of where this franchise is going?
If you think about it, we're talking about a streak that hasn't happened since Dan Marino was in his third year.
Right.
Since Ryan Tannehill wasn't born for 3 years. Like, this streak, it's long older than Ryan Tannehill. So this would be a cosmic, mind-altering, orgasmic kind of achievement for Dolphins team and Dolphin fans. It means that you've arrived as a team. If you manage to go in Baltimore, play a very good team, probably one of the best defenses in the NFL. Yes, their offense is struggling, but beat one of the best teams in the NFL with what you've got going on with from an injury standpoint, that offensive line with Devontae Parker, and find a way to produce a win, you should be excited.
And I think, too, we'll get more into that game against the Ravens coming up a little bit. Let's take our first Twitter question of the show. From Sam, what do you think is behind the lack of national coverage for the Dolphins during this winning streak compared to other teams?
I would say a decade of mediocrity.
Yeah.
You have earned the disrespect that the national media is giving you as a Dolphins organization, because you've been the laughingstock of the NFL. Arguably, no franchise has been as bad as the Dolphins consistently, except for the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
You put yourself in that neighborhood. You put yourself in that company with bad selections of coaches, Cam Cameron, the embarrassment of Tony Sperano sticking with him too long and then going out flirting with Harbaugh, the hiring of Joe Philbin, sticking with Joe Philbin after you knew he wasn't a good coach. You put yourself in this situation. You fired a coach 4 years games into the season last year. Let's not pretend like you aren't bad as an organization. But sometimes it takes one good hire to transform the team. And when you look at what the Dallas Cowboys are doing and the New York Giants are doing, these are teams that are on similar six-game winning streaks. Dallas is, you know, Dallas is obviously
sure,
in the NFL.
Sure, they deserve what they're getting.
Dallas is without a doubt. They're winning with a rookie quarterback. They're winning with Ezekiel Elliott as the best running back in the NFL. Dallas is hot.
Right.
Their defense, there's nothing to that defense, yet they're playing well. That is a well-coached team. And then the New York Giants, they put a crap load of money. They did a Steve Ross offseason where they were just like, here, throw the cash at
right.
the problem. And it's somehow panning out for them, even though I don't really think that they're that good of a team. But to do it against the caliber opponents that Dallas and the New York Giants is doing it against, two thumbs up. Miami, I think a lot of people are saying, well, San Diego's not that hot. The Rams aren't that good. San Francisco, ha, 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 ha. It's, you know, but you do it against Baltimore, people will respect you.
Well, and I think, too, that while all that is got its own merits,
yeah.
I just don't think a lot of national media have watched the Dolphins. They
aren't
playing these primetime games that the Giants are playing, that
True.
The Cowboys are playing.
Okay, that's fair.
So I think there are lots of people across the country that have maybe seen a play here, a play there on Red Zone, but they're not putting a good portion of their preparation into watching these subpar teams that the Dolphins
True.
Are playing.
None of the national media who regularly choose a game of the week, the Dolphins haven't had a game of the week.
Right.
They're not on national television except for when they got beaten down by Cincinnati.
Right.
So you make a very valid point. But I also think the sex appeal isn't there. You don't have – Jay Ajayi gave you sex appeal for a couple of
weeks.
Yes,
he did. Yep.
And you still have a little bit of sexiness to him, even though he only gained 45 yards last week. But if you had Ryan Tannehill playing like a Luck, Andrew Luck, and technically he is. He's outplaying Andrew Luck. But he doesn't have the name, the cachet, the appeal of Andrew Luck. But if people realize that Ryan Tannehill is now playing at 120 quarterback level for the past 4 weeks, they'd be like, maybe we need to check out this Ryan Tannehill and see if there has been improvement.
And I think if lots can change, too, if they could find a way to win in Baltimore this weekend.
Yeah.
Next question from Jose. How do we avoid a meltdown in December like the one the 2013 team had?
Oh, man, that 2013 collapse was monumental because if you remember, the Dolphins went into games against Buffalo and the Jets. I believe both were at home. And all they had to do was win one to make it to the playoffs.
They didn't know at the beginning that all it was going to take was win one. But by the end, that's the way it all shook down. It was just a win over one of them would have done it.
And they had a 3-interception performance by Tannehill, allowed Geno Smith from a defensive standpoint to have a perfect quarterback rating and pull off that victory that not only prevented you from producing the first winning season since 2008, but also prevented you from making it to the playoffs since 2008. This is the chance for Ryan Tannehill to get redemption, because when his team needed him, he couldn't carry the load.
Right.
He couldn't put the team on his shoulders. And they need him now, especially while this offensive line is a piecemeal unit with backup starting, especially while Devontae Parker is ailing with that back injury that he suffered last week against the 49ers. They need Ryan Tannehill to play good. Not can't be Ryan Tannehill.
Right, he's got to be better.
He
was Sunday.
He was definitely Sunday.
Alex, why aren't we kicking field goals over 45 yards? Is Andrew Franks that much of a worry for the coaching staff? I said last week we were going to talk about Andrew Franks, and here we are talking about Andrew Franks.
Listen, when they decide, Andrew Franks has a leg to kick a 52-yard field goal. I think some issues are being worked out right now because he's had a lot of field goals blocked. And a lot of the reason why he's had a lot of field goals blocked is because to kick with distance, he kicks at a low angle. It's blockable.
Right.
Now, you have to block it up well. Now, I don't think the Dolphins are comfortable enough in their blocking protections with the offensive linemen out. Because remember, Mike Pouncey's on that unit. Laramie Tunsil's on that unit. I'm not even sure if Brandon Albert's on that unit. When you've got replacements in there, it might make you a little bit queasy.
Well,
to quote Joe Philbin.
And that gets the feel. Adam Gase is going with his gut on that play.
Okay.
He's going with his. He's not going by numbers. He's not looking at a chart. He's not looking at and.
You can't lose the. You're saying that he looked at it from the standpoint. I can't lose the momentum of this game right now.
Right now, I don't feel good about what could happen if we try to make this field goal. So we're not going to try this field goal.
Okay.
I think that's.
I think,
and I don't think that's bubble guts. I don't think that's him being nervous. I don't think.
Yeah.
You know.
He's an aggressive guy.
He's an aggressive guy, but at that moment. He's got to trust his gut, and I don't have a problem with that.
I don't have a problem with it either. It was a little bit concerning because Andrew Franks hasn't had the greatest of seasons,
right.
But he's not in position to score a lot of points just because the offense is actually finishing in the red zone. So I'm not saying that I'm complaining, but it was a little bit troubling. Maybe if the distance was a 49-yarder or a 50-yarder, he would have felt a little bit better about it, but... He didn't.
I mean, it's hard to imagine a good team going through an entire season without having to make a big-time field goal.
Yeah.
And right now, we don't know if Andrew Franks can do that.
He might need it this week against Tucker because
sure.
Tucker's the best
He's
kicker.
The best there is.
He's the best there is.
All right, let's move on and talk a little bit more about this great start. Dolphins after 1-4, we said it was against some good teams.
Do you remember those 1-4 shows we were doing?
Well, I remember the 1-3 show after that being, hey, no reason to flip out here. These were tough games, a lot of them on the road. No reason to really get all upset about it. And then they lost at home to Tennessee, and we said, okay, now it's time to give up.
Now it's time to panic.
And now, now we're fine. So
Tennessee doesn't look that bad, though.
No. No, not at this point they don't.
Rishard Matthews is balling.
Right. Now, and I mean, the teams, they change as the season goes along.
Oh, absolutely.
Obviously, I think the Dolphins would beat the Bengals if they play them today. But the way that the Bengals were then, it was a tough
game.
Yeah,
they don't have A.J. Green.
Like, right. Well, don't have A.J. Green, don't have Giovanni Bernard, don't have, you know.
Yeah, how many yards does A.J. Green have? Like 2,000?
You talked about it on Twitter. Most of the big plays that the Dolphins have given up in the passing game
all
season were in that one game to A.J. Green.
Absolutely. The Dolphins, and this is what's really impressive about this defense, they can't stop the run to save their life.
Right.
But it's not like they're getting gashed by running backs. It's just they are a bend but don't break defense, and they don't want you to get the big play. They'll do anything to get – you're going to have to nickel and dime them all game to get what you're going to get. And eventually they're going to wait for you to screw up. And it's a brilliant kind of mad genius philosophy where you're just going to have to – this is how defense used to play the Dolphins. They're like, we know you can't beat us big.
Right.
But you can't put together a 12-play drive without making a mistake. A holding call, an interception, a sack, a run for negative yardage. And that's what Vance Joseph waits for. And when they get it, they seize the opportunity. Now, but from a defensive standpoint, they've improved drastically, sewn it together. Byron Maxwell's playing well. Tony Lippett's playing well. Bobby McCain, not so much. The safeties, they've got three safeties rotating in to make up for the loss of Rashad Jones. And they're right now one of the hottest secondaries in the NFL. From a turnover standpoint, from a quarterback passer rating standpoint, they've only allowed 5 plays of 40 yards or more.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 of them came from A.J. Green. So that shows you where they are in terms of how they've made steady progress. And it's very impressive.
But now we're here in December, and these games do seem to – they're not unwinnable down the stretch here, but they do seem to be taking you up a notch this game. At Baltimore, home game against Arizona, road games in New York, Buffalo, tough places to play, and then, of course, the Patriots. So what do the Dolphins need to do to take this whole thing to a next level and book their ticket to the playoffs?
Defense has to improve. I just sang the praises of the secondary, and they deserve the credit that they're getting. And when Xavier Howard comes back, maybe they'll even improve another notch up. But this run defense, you cannot spend all year the 30th worst run defense in the NFL,
right,
giving up 4.6 yards per carry, and think that you're going to win games that matter against tough physical teams. They've got to get better on the defensive line. And I know that Earl Mitchell coming back helps Ndamukong Suh and it helps Jordan Phillips. Jordan Phillips' play has taken an upswing a little bit because he's a little bit more rested, but they've got to find somebody else on that defensive line that can help them in terms of the rotation. Now, Mario Williams can play defensive tackle and can play defensive end, but he has like Ebola now. He's sick.
Wow, he looked terrible.
Yeah, he looked terrible after the game. It's just going to be a steady, you got to hold the line. You got to hold the line, and then the linebacker play has to get better. And that, to me, that's Jelani Jenkins. He's a guy who's battled injuries all season. Mm-hmm. It's been the hand. It's been the knee. He's got to get healthy, and he's got to get better. And then Neville Hewitt has got to play more consistent. He's flashed at times. He's had good games, but then he's had bad games. Last week against the 49ers was a bad game. He's a young player that needs to find his way, and he needs to be at a consistent level if they're going to beat the Ravens.
All right, let's take some more of your questions. James, who's playing better right now between Maxwell and Lippin?
That is a good question because they're both playing at a very high level. I think Maxwell's ability to understand offenses, because he's a former wide receiver,
right,
and recognition, the defensive player said that he called out that exact play that the 49ers used, that he tipped the ball into the air and allowed Kiko Alonso to make the interception. I mean, he comes from the wide side of the field to chase down that player. I think it was a tight end coming across the middle of the field in the seam, knocks the ball into the air. Kiko Alonso gets the interception. Lippitt is playing at a high level, but Byron Maxwell, at the beginning of the year, I was like, he's not playing as bad as people think.
Right.
Every year, Dolphin fans, they got to have a punching bag. We thought it was going to be Dallas Thomas this year. Dallas Thomas is gone. They're like, oh, who's our new punching bag?
Right.
It became Byron Maxwell. And Dolphin fans would see penalties and see the touchdowns, and they're like, man, Byron Maxwell's trash. Well, did you see that he got picked on an illegal pick, which refs are allowing now,
right,
nowadays?
Sure.
Every touchdown he has in the red zone, it's like it's a pick play where he's illegally picked. The refs never call it. And then holding calls. Dolphins, Vance Joseph won't admit it, but he'd rather you hold than allow a big play.
Sure.
If you're going to have Byron Maxwell cover a speedy receiver like Mike Wallace, which might be trouble, he's going to hold.
Yeah, right.
He's going to pass interference. It's just going to be the way
sure.
it is. For what he's doing, I think Byron Maxwell is playing at a higher level than Tony Lippitt, but they've both taken their games to another level.
All right, let's take our next question from Mamba. What do you feel is the main factor in Kiko Alonso getting back to a high level of play this year, health or scheme?
I think it's a little bit of both. The scheme he's familiar with because it's similar to what he ran in Buffalo when he was a rookie of the year candidate. But health-wise, the Dolphins do so much from a GPS tracker, from health and nutrition, monitoring sleep. Mm. They do so much from a scientific standpoint. Players began to hate it,
yeah,
and then they realized, it's paying off. When a player is injured or starting to peak down, they can tell based on the performance, and they can tell he needs some rest. And coaches give them that. They monitor snap count. So I think I'm going to have to give it to the science staff because they've done everything that they can possibly do to make sure Kiko Alonso's playing well and playing healthy and is playing at a consistently high level, and he is. He's definitely playing the consistently
high level. The big plays that he's making, which most of the time have to do with him sort of being in the right place at the
yeah.
right time, a tip ball to him, a forced fumble in his hands.
He's around the ball a lot.
Is it more that that's kind of making people think he's playing a little better than he is because he's showing up in the stat sheet so much? Because the high touchdown, that was kind of on him.
He allowed two touchdowns. Two touchdowns against 49ers.
So it's he's taking the good with the bad of them a little bit.
He is the focal point of the defense. The entire defense works around him. So a lot of the plays are funneled to him. A lot of the tough assignments and tough coverages go to him. But he has a hard job. He's got to cover backs.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to cover tight ends. He's got to stop the run. I mean, there's a lot that he's got to call out the defense. There's a lot that's being put on his plate. I think
he's going to play with two subpar linebackers next to him.
Damn, you called him out like that? It is what it is. You're right. If he had a I will say this. I think he's more of a weak side linebacker.
Right.
And if you can get a Carlos Dansby type and put him on the inside linebacker, man, your defense could probably be good.
Mm-hmm.
A guy who can sniff out the run and play and just fire away and get it. Kiko can't do that. but he can do a lot of other things well. And I think if you have him stay in his lane and do those things well, your defense can get to the next level.
You mean getting a young guy like Denzel Perryman?
I don't, you know, I'm, Denzel Perryman can't cover the run, the pass.
All right, then let's take a quick question.
But I hear where you're going.
Finns 23, Jets 3.
I want to be better than Denzel.
All right, what is your take on Mike Tannenbaum's ability to build, draft this roster? Depth seems better than expected.
I would disagree with the depth better than expected comment.
Right.
Tell me, yes, you're making it work with Bakari Rambo, Tony Lippitt, Donald Butler, and
Marquise Gray,
Andre Branch. I could give you credit for that,
right?
Because those are all talents that other teams said, "Eh, get out of here. We don't care." But I give coaching more credit because Vance Joseph and Lou Anarumo are responsible for getting Tony Lippitt to play at the level that he is. Bobby McCain still needs to take it to another level, but he's playing relatively okay. This is a fifth-round pick. Bakari Rambo, Mike Tannenbaum didn't get him prepared for that game. Andre Branch, I give him tons of credit for Andre Branch because this was a player he identified and said he's better than what he showed in Jacksonville. But to build a draft and build and draft for this roster, I come into this season and I say depth was an issue. Depth still remains an issue. Let's not pretend like your offensive line is deep. Let's not pretend like you got nothing if Sam Young gets hurt.
Right.
And none of those guys. Last week against 49ers, what were you going to do when Sam Young got hurt?
Yeah, I don't know. Did they sign some guy?
They signed some guy. I didn't even tell you the guy's name.
I don't know the guy's name either.
But what were you going to do? You had no plan. You were just going to say, all right, game over.
Yeah.
And that's an issue moving forward that you've got to address. Let's not pretend like you didn't sign Dominic Jones off the street. You had him in training camp, but he's come out and helped you. Let's not pretend like you were like, oh, Dominic Jones, he's that dude. He's that great player. No, you got to get a little bit better from a talent evaluation standpoint. I would say they've been more lucky than they've been good.
Okay. So now we move on to this week's gigantic game against Baltimore.
Is it gigantic?
I don't. If for national perspective, it's gigantic. I don't think for their – I think it's actually a bigger game for the Ravens to win for their playoff future.
It is.
But it still feels big because this is a tough place to
it's
go ahead and play.
It's a playoff game. This is the equivalent or the closest thing you're going to get to a playoff game until you get to the playoffs.
Sure.
Probably at the end of the year when you're trying to – because to me, 10 is the bare minimum. You've got to get to 10.
To make it to the playoffs.
You've got
to
get 10.
Right.
So that means you've got to win 3 of the next 5.
Right.
To get to 10, which might not be enough, depending on what the AFC West teams do. So you've got to get to 10. You've got to win 3 of the next 5. You got Baltimore. You got the Jets. You got
Cardinals at home.
Cardinals at home.
At Buffalo. And home against the Pats.
At home against the Pats. At Buffalo. In Buffalo.
Well, those last two games, if I'm the Dolphins,
you better take care of business now.
Definitely do not want to be going into those final 2 weeks needing both of those wins.
Yeah.
You do not want to be staring at Christmas Eve saying we have 8 wins and we need these last two because those are going to be tough.
Absolutely.
It's going to be freezing in Buffalo.
Yeah.
It's a night game.
You coming?
Right? No, it's the Jets is the night game and then it's an afternoon game. But still.
It's a nightmare.
It's a nightmare.
I'm scared that I won't be home for Christmas.
Okay, well.
Let's be honest.
Let's get back and talk about the Ravens. And it is offensively looking pretty tough here with some of these guys that are injured. We've got Mike Pouncey, Brandon Albert, Laremy Tunsil, and Devontae Parker, all big-time parts of this offense nursing injuries. What's the update?
Well, we'll start with the unicorns. Mike Pouncey is probably not going to be playing, and I hope and pray that if he comes back this season, it'll be for the final month of the year. Mike Pouncey's hip, you got to start to begin to worry that it's a degenerative issue.
Right.
I mean, this is the fourth time he's probably going to need a surgery on this hip. This is something that could be career-threatening, and you don't want to rush him back onto the field when it's something of that nature. Brandon Albert practiced today. I promised the people that I would do a Harlem Shake. This is my bad Harlem Shake.
That's terrible. That's a terrible Harlem Shake.
It's
get a little more. Just a little more.
Okay.
Okay.
That is the key to the defense.
Someone gift that, by the way.
Okay. That is the key to the defense. I mean, to the offense, because the meat of what Baltimore does is they beat you up on the front line.
Right.
What happens to Ryan Tannehill when his front line gets beat up?
It all falls apart in front of him, and he turns into a pumpkin.
Okay. you have to right now get Brandon Albert back. My concern is with that left wrist, his job is to do this.
Right.
Yeah, you could have him in a brace, but what's Terrell Suggs going to be doing all game?
slapping at it. Right.
So I'm concerned about that. Now the question is, Brandon says he could play. Brandon is adamant about proving to people that he's tougher than all his injuries, which mm-hmm. he always says are fluke injuries, you know. But he wants to prove that he's more durable. And he's got money on the line.
Yeah, he does, right.
This is an important year, because next year is an opt-in year for like $8.9 million. Is Brandon Albert worth $8.9 million? Well, if he only plays 10 games a year, no, he's not.
Yeah, he's not.
Laremy Tunsil is practicing. The question is, will it handle contact? I believe this is going to be a week where he's going to be given some contact and see where that shoulder is. Devontae Parker, I would be shocked if he played. I mean, he's in a back brace. He's banged up. We all know where Devontae is when he's not healthy. We've seen what he can be when he is healthy.
My goodness.
But how often does that happen?
Yeah. Well, and get him right. You got to get him right.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. And meanwhile, Ravens are allowing 3.4 yards per carry on the ground. So how much of this, unicorns or no, how much of this is a challenge for this Dolphins offense to get Jay Ajayi going?
This is a challenge for Jay Ajayi. If you want to prove that you are not the product of the unicorn offensive line, mm-hmm. if you want to prove that you are a premier back, if you want to prove that you are a Pro Bowl caliber player, and he's up there numbers-wise,
sure.
But let's be real, that was all unicorns.
Yeah.
He did. He finished the job. But,
Damian
Williams could have done some of that.
Yes, Damian Williams could have done some of that. And against the Niners, they were all out making sure that J.J. was going to run. The Ravens don't have to put 8 in the box.
No,
stop the run.
You're correct.
So they're going to need Jay Ajayi to make some plays.
He's going to have to break some tackles. I think you can implement him a little bit more in the passing game. I think the best way to attack the Ravens is to throw passes to your backs. If Jay Ajayi wants to prove that he is a Pro Bowl caliber player, this is the game to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to put the sombrero on his head, because Ryan Tannehill is going to be under so much pressure without Devontae Parker. I have a high my doubt level that he can carry a load is very high. You're going to need Jay Ajayi to play like the Jay Ajayi we saw with the Unicorns.
And what you've just described, they're coming after Ryan Tannehill.
Mm-hmm.
And
they can stop the run.
Need a pass to the backs.
Yeah.
Sounds like a big Damian Williams game to me.
Okay, that's a very excellent point as well.
Eric asks us, what's the best matchup for the Finns to take advantage of against Baltimore?
I would feel so much better if Devontae Parker were playing, but I think that this Baltimore secondary, especially if Jimmy Wilson doesn't play, can be exploited. Secondary has been sort of their weakness now. For a long time. They play great with Eric Weddle. Eric Weddle's a scary guy.
Yeah.
Probably one of the best safeties in the NFL right now. But some of these cornerbacks can be exploited. I'm looking at this as a big Jarvis Landry game. I'm looking at this now with Devontae out. Kenny Stills is going to have to step up and be that big play threat. He can't afford to drop or not give full effort. You got to get him healthy with that calf injury. I feel so much better if Devontae Parker
sure.
was playing. But I doubt that's going
to
happen.
All right, James, the key to Adam Gase's success, that players feel he has their back by doing things like holding them out on injuries longer, etc.
I think the key to success for Adam Gase and the coaching staff, and I've been saying this consistently throughout the year, is the accountability standpoint, mm-hmm. the honesty standpoint, the trust factor.
We're all in this together.
Yes, we're all in this together. And not only that, but we're going to hold ourselves accountable. We talk about it on previous shows. How many times has Adam Gase said, that was my bad.
Right.
I didn't do the right
thing. Every single press conference. He's saying something.
Every week, I got to do a better job of this.
Right.
And when your coach does that, when the hell has Joe Philbin ever taken accountability for anything he's ever done wrong?
And not to attack Joe Philbin, but I think most NFL head coaches.
You know, we could sit here and as Monday morning quarterback, which is my job, what I do.
Sure.
I can point out things and say, this needs to be, you know, you got to, this four running back rotation, it's not going to work. You don't realize it now, but it's not going to work. He'll come back 2 weeks later, you know what, that was a bad idea. It didn't work. Let me go with one back. And when players see that, it makes them more accountable. When Vance Joseph says, do this defense, be in your gap, even if the running back is right over there, if your gap is over here, stay here. Mm-hmm. Because that's for somebody else to make the play. And when you don't stick to the script, we are in trouble because we open up big possibilities for big plays. Players are buying in. Players are believing in it. And they know if we just do our job, we're going to be good.
I think what's interesting, too, about this game is this is one of the first games during this streak that Adam Gase is going up against a really good other head coach on the other sideline.
Are you saying Chip Kelly is not a good head coach?
I don't think he's proven that he's a good NFL head coach.
Okay.
But John Harbaugh has.
John Harbaugh has.
Tomlin, to start it off.
Since the streak, Tomlin's. Okay.
Okay.
Hold on. You disrespecting Rex Ryan now? Wait a minute. Oh, man. You don't believe in Rex Ryan?
Who do you got on Sunday?
I am going to go with the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay.
For this reason. Everybody who knows me knows I am a Ravens fan. I believe in how they build teams. I believe in Ozzie Newsome is the best in the game. They have issues. Ravens have issues. Offensively, they got issues. Eventually, they're going to figure it out. This is the defense where as long as you can protect Joe Flacco, and they can protect Joe Flacco, they should be able to figure it out against Miami because who's going to stop the run? I think I'm predicting a 24 Ravens, 21. I'll make it close. Ravens victory. I think this is the end of the road because there are no unicorns.
You're thinking that there even Albert's out there. Albert's practicing today.
If Albert plays, you have a better chance to win because you're not going to be as manhandled on in the trenches as you would generally. But I just have a hard time believing that Albert and Laremy Tunsil are going to play and they're going to be able to protect Tannehill.
I think the Dolphins are a better team than the Ravens are right now.
Okay.
I think they're playing better than the Ravens are right now. And even though the Ravens are at home, even though the Ravens are more desperate to win a game, I'm taking the Dolphins to win this game with a healthy Brandon Albert, 24-19.
How do you get to 19?
There's so many different ways.
Oh,
so many different ways.
All right.
Justin Tucker is going to have an extra point blocked. Okay. If you're watching us live, stay with us because we'll do X's and Omar overtime. We'll get to all your questions.
We got some good ones.
And we've got some good ones. So stick with us. And also, if you like to just listen to us and don't like to see our faces, you can listen to the X's and Omar podcast. Just search iTunes for X's and Omar.